It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
It was two of the most excruciating hours I've ever spent. I had to watch the entire Comey hearing today, and I am fired up about it tonight because everybody that says it means something is probably going to be telling you something that may not be 100% true. I'm going to give you the facts now on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Binge thinking.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Did the president at any time ask you to stop the FBI investigation into Russian involvement in the 2016 U.S. elections?
Not to my understanding, no.
Did any individual working for this administration, including the Justice Department, ask you to stop the Russian investigation?
No.
All right, we're done here. Thank you. That was the opening set of questions from Senator Burr. Is he related to Aaron Burr by any chance? No, I'm serious. Is the current Senator Burr? Somebody look that up. At least look that up. See if we can find out the answer to that. I'm curious. Anyway, Senator Burr directly, play it one more time.
Did the president at any time ask you to stop the FBI investigation into Russian involvement in the 2016 U.S. elections?
Not to my understanding, no.
Did any individual working for this administration, including the Justice Department, ask you to stop the Russian investigation?
No.
All right. So nobody from the administration pressured Mr. Comey to end the investigation into Russia, right? Okay. So we got that on the record. Did the president ask him to end the investigation into Mr. Flynn, which is a much smaller question and one that doesn't even matter, as my guest Alan Dershowitz will tell us coming up. The esteemed Harvard professor, constitutional scholar, brilliant legal mind who happens to be with his family in France. He's going to take time out to be with us. I'm very honored by that. But I'm going to ask him about that. But according to Mr. Dershowitz and what he wrote in the Times this morning, it does not matter. The president has the right to tell the FBI, shut that investigation down. They also have the right to say, go investigate this person. And the president didn't do that. He said, I would like to hope that we could let this Flynn thing go. I've already fired him. He lied to us. He embarrassed the vice president who went out and defended him. I've already fired him. I would very much like to let this thing go because I'd like to move on with my administration. Mr. Comey's response was, I can't let it go. Now, if he felt that that was a directive from the president of the United States, his obligation as someone who reports to the president of the United States would be to obey his supervisor. When you report to someone who's above you and they give you a direct order, you go do it or you lose your job. He didn't lose his job. Not then. He should have lost it before that, but he didn't. So he said, I'd like to let this thing go. And then he never brings it up again. So evidently, James Comey is this big, tough, standing up to the bully that Donald Trump is. Oh, he's a big man. Yeah. 6'9", lanky monkey walking around the Congress. But guess what? Donald Trump, he did not intimidate him. No, he stood up to him. You know who he couldn't stand up to? Little 5'4" Loretta Lynch. Because you know what else he said? The former attorney general under Barack Obama, Loretta Lynch, pressured former FBI director James Comey to downplay the Clinton email server investigation and refer to it publicly only as a matter, not as a criminal investigation. So it's one of those things where the Trump people, he wasn't able to be intimidated by the he's a martyr dying on a burning pole. But evidently, Loretta Lynch and Billy, how you doing? Come on over to my plane. Let's talk golf and grandkids. Maybe how we're going to get my wife out of that, you know, little mess she's in. Evidently, they had the ability to pressure him because he said he was pressured today. Cut six.
The decision to publicly go out with your results on the email. Was your decision influenced by the Attorney General's tarmac meeting with the former President Bill Clinton?
Yes, in a ultimately conclusive way. That was the thing that capped it for me, that I had to do something separately to protect the credibility of the investigation, which meant both the FBI and the Justice Department.
Were there other things that contributed to that you can describe in an open session?
At one point, the Attorney General had directed me not to call it an investigation, but instead to call it a matter, which confused me and concerned me. But that was one of the bricks in the load that led me to conclude I have to step away from the department if we're to close this case credibly.
Oh, are you sure you did? Because just a few weeks later, you had to reopen it again because Anthony Weiner's laptop was loaded with stuff. And you supposedly went through some, you know, 850,000 emails in like 2 minutes and said, oh, yeah, there's nothing there. There. There's no there. So he wasn't able. I just find it odd that the 6 foot. How tall is he? 7 foot eight? 8 foot two? He's a legend in his own mind. Bigger and bigger. Mr. Jim Comey standing up to the bully, Donald Trump. He pressured me. He said, I hope we can get past this Flynn thing. Oh, that's a directive. You're trying to influence me. Oh, my goodness. It's corruption. No, it's not. Actually, it's legally. He could have ordered you to put it down. He didn't do that. He probably only didn't do that because he probably didn't know. That's probably the bottom line. Because if he knew that he could have and he put us all through this anyway, I'm really going to be mad at him. Man, we got terrorists to go defeat. We got an economy to fix. We need to get tax reform done. We need health care replaced. We don't have time for this mess anymore. And here we are stuck on stupid. Big time.
Well, he hoped I would set the Flynn investigation down. He's so, you know, and when he said hope that certain way, he looked me in the eye and he said to me, I hope. And, you know, my heart started beating faster. My palms were sweaty. I just didn't know how to respond. You know, I'm a big, big, strong law enforcement professional, but I was just brought weak to my knees.
But evidently, sassy little Loretta Lynch could boss him around, tell him what to do. And he'd get on board. Okay, so we got a lot to talk about. Coming up on the show, we've got Professor Alan Dershowitz from Harvard Law, constitutional scholar and a criminal justice scholar. So he'll give us perspectives on that. Former prosecutor Katie Fang from MSNBC, legal analyst. She's on the Greta Van Susteren show a lot. She'll be with us. It is also relationship night. Thank God. We talk about something other than this Comey crap for just half a second. Just take a nice deep breath. Something else. So we'll do that. And final thoughts, of course, before we're done. And always, your phone calls are welcome to 888-340-3373. And you can also email me, kmcradio@gmail.com, kmcradio@gmail.com. But I want to know. By the way, there were a lot of you that were weighing in on the feed as I was going through the social media today, live tweeting all the stuff that we were doing. And if you want to see a bunch of exact quotes from Comey that you can then put into your social media feed, and every time someone's like lipping off to you about something that they think they know and they're in the ignorance on, you just take one of my tweets, you post it on their page, and boom, you got it. You got them. Because the bottom line is no criminal activity, no end to the Russia investigation. no compromise or corruption or anything like that. And just because
Big Bad Jim Comey
couldn't stand up to, you know, Donald Trump. Sweaty palms, heart palpitations. That doesn't mean that anything illegal happened. In fact, I don't know. I'll ask Professor Dershowitz next if he thinks anything. Is there any criminal case here to be made? I didn't see one. But we'll get the head of the Harvard Law School and the constitutional scholar to tell us about that next. So we got Dershowitz. We got Fang. We got Ashley Popall before we're done. It's Kevin McCullough. This is where you find breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters. It's the Kevin McCullough Radio. Stay with us.
In traffic, we've got the answer.
There's really only one decent way into Manhattan from New Jersey at this point, and that is the Holland Tunnel, and even that will cost you 15 minutes from both approaches, 30 minutes back into New Jersey, and things just get progressively worse here as you go upstream. The Lincoln Tunnel, a 45-minute delay, and the upper level of the George Washington Bridge is more than a 45-minute delay, and then you're jammed across the span. Lower level is just slightly better with a 30-minute delay, but you too will be slow across the span onto the eastbound Cross Bronx, right out towards the area of the Deegan with an accident being cleared. But if you're getting on from the Deegan to go east, because everybody's stuck behind this accident, it's actually a nice Thursday afternoon ride through the Bronx to the Bruckner Interchange. Westbound, though, is a bumper-to-bumper mess from the Bruckner right on through to the GW Bridge. Northbound Deegan slows RFK Triborough Bridge right up towards the area of 149th Street as folks navigate through that construction. Southbound, we're slow Van Cortlandt Park into 179th Street. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
New York has the finest. New York has the bravest. And now, for the first time on AM 970 New York, has the boldest hour. Tune in every Sunday morning at 11 for bold talk and bold ideas with your host, Correction Officers Benevolent Association President Elias Husamuddin. Elias will cover topics that affect New York City correction officers, the public, and New York City officials. Don't miss COBA's The Boldest Hour, Sunday mornings at 11, here on AM 970 The Answer.
Today we're talking about mortgages. If you're looking to obtain a home loan, Emmanuel Katechis from United Mortgages here to help answer some questions. Emmanuel, what's currently happening in the mortgage industry?
There are many great things. For instance, one of the best new products is HARP. Right now, someone can refinance even if you owe more than what your house is worth. Also, United Mortgage can get you into a property with little or no money down.
Can you still get a mortgage even if you have bad credit?
Absolutely. Right now, even if you have a low credit score, we may be able to help you with various programs, such as FHA or VA.
What separates United Mortgage from other mortgage companies?
What separates us is service, hands down. We are here 7 days a week, from early morning to late evening. We understand that this process can be very intimidating. That is why our team has been trained in customer service and products. We are here for you even after the loan closes.
Call United Mortgage at 888-888-5721. 888-888-5721. United Mortgage is licensed by the New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut Department of Banking. 888-888-5721.
Mike Connors, host of Ask the Lawyer and published in New York Magazine's Top-Rated Lawyers. Whether assisting a client with drafting a will or trust, power of attorney, health care proxy, nursing home plan, or other matter, Connors and Sullivan's goal is always the protection of their clients' rights and interests. Connors and Sullivan Attorneys at Law, PLLC, has dedicated attorneys that can help you with estate planning, elder law, and probate. They listen to their clients to learn about their families, their financial picture, and their long-term goals to create a comprehensive plan to meet your objectives. They assist with the complex tax matters that are often involved in estate planning and probate. Contact Connors and Sullivan Attorneys at Law, PLLC, with offices in Brooklyn, Queens, Midtown Manhattan, and Staten Island to schedule a free consultation with an attorney. 718-238-6500. That's 718-238-6500. And listen to Ask the Lawyer right here every Saturday evening at 6.
Hey there, here to tell you about some of the hottest deals happening at Lowe's. For your garden, get great savings on Miracle-Gro Garden Soil, 3 for $10. And make sure you're prepared for your next backyard barbecue with a 2-pack of Kingsford Charcoal, now for just $9.88. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid 6-7 through 6-14 while supplies last. U.S. only. Charcoal offer limited to 2 bags per customer. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
AM 970. The Answer.
Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Glad to have you with us as we continue to kind of look at what happened with the testimony of Mr. Comey before the Senate hearing today. They then went into closed hearings, and there'll be other things that we won't know about there. But even before the hearing took place today, I read a quote from my next guest in a major periodical this morning that kind of, I thought, settled the matter before the hearing even took place. And that was that he argued that it is customary for presidents to not just ask, but to instruct the FBI and the Justice Department on who to prosecute and who not to prosecute. And I want to ask him a couple of follow-up questions about that. Alan Dershowitz, the vaunted lawyer, author, constitutional scholar, now joins us. And I believe it's at some great price personally because he's with his family. But, Alan, thank you for being with us. Kevin McCullough, good to have you back.
Nice to be back. I'm in the most beautiful part of France in the Alsace area. But I'm happy to talk to you for a couple of minutes.
I appreciate that. You did say this morning that many presidents have had the tradition and the expectation that the Justice Department and the FBI are not nearly as independent as what we've been hearing about in recent media reports. Could you expand that a little bit?
Well, first of all, Comey said that today. The most important part.
He did. I was amazed.
Which all the media are ignoring. Why are they ignoring it? Because they've been denying it. I've been the only one who's been saying this. And every other pundit has been denying it, and so CNN didn't even mention it because all their pundits have been wrong. What Comey said is that the president of the United States would have had the authority to command him not to investigate Flynn and to stop his investigation of Flynn. In fact, Comey went further. He said the president has the power to direct the Justice Department and the FBI who to investigate, who to prosecute, who not to investigate, who not prosecute. That is clearly what the Constitution provides. And so there can't possibly be any criminal conduct based on the president exercising his constitutional authority. Now, the rest of Comey's testimony was devastating to President Trump. He basically called him a liar. He said he doesn't trust him. He had to take notes of everything he said. He said that he violated the rules of the Justice Department, not criminal rules, but traditional rules, and said a great many things that were very, very seriously critical of the president. But he put to rest the notion that there is any possible criminal conduct.
Well, and there's a couple of other things that I thought were significant in Trump's favor in his testimony today, and that he was basically forced to admit that the word hope, which is what he said about the Flynn investigation, that the hope that that this could go away was not an instruction, and that the president never brought it up again after he had that first meeting with him about it, and that the president never asked him to interfere with the Russian investigation, which seems to be kind of the meat of everything that they've been pointing at.
Well, I think you're partly right, but partly not right. He did say he understood the hope to be a direction, because when the hope comes from the president, it's a direction. He, without using this analogy, he basically said it's like getting a kiss from the head of the mafia saying, I hope you will do the right thing, an offer that can't be refused. But that doesn't matter, because he then said, even if the president said, I direct you to do this, it would have been within his authority to say that. I think it's very important that he did say that there was no conversation whatsoever about stopping the investigation of Russia. The only request was on behalf of a friend, a good guy, please let this go. He's suffered enough. Don't go after him. And Comey basically said, I agree with you, he was a good guy. And then he went forward and continued the investigation. So that can't be the basis for criminal conduct, nor could his request that he be loyal. That's not a crime.
Yeah.
Nor could firing it be a crime. So I think we have put to rest, based on Comey's testimony, any possibility that the president could be charged with obstruction of justice or even impeached on the ground of obstruction of justice. That doesn't mean what the president did was right. And I think Comey made that distinction rather sharply and rather clearly.
We're speaking with American legal scholar Alan Dershowitz, who also is, you know, not only an expert on criminal law, but also constitutional law. Professor, let me ask you about this. The independent counsel the Senate committee, the House committee. These are all three different investigations that are going forward. Is this a wise use of the public resources?
No.
Is this something that we should be doing on so many different levels?
No, we shouldn't. We should be just having Senate and Congress investigations, perhaps an independent investigation, but not a criminal investigation. There is no need for a special counsel. There is no need for a criminal investigation of the president. The president's been told three or four times he's not a subject of a criminal investigation. I think that's a waste of money, and it's also very dangerous because you have the special counsel putting his evidence in front of a grand jury behind closed doors, no lawyers. Not the best way to get evidence or information. The best way is to do it in the public forum like we saw it today. So I think today was a good day for America. I think the day that the special counsel was appointed was not a good day for America.
The former FBI director also seemed to implicate that the former attorney general had, in fact, asked him something, and he kind of threw her under the bus. How did you make his discussion about the Loretta Lynch passage? What made sense of that?
I thought that was devastating, too, for the attorney general to say this is a matter was political, and it shouldn't have been done. And I think he was trying to be equally honest on both sides, and he was very critical of Lynch. He was critical of Bill Clinton, and, of course, he was critical of President Trump. So I think Comey came off better today than he had in the past. I just wish he had the courage when he leaked stuff to his law professor guy, his friend who he didn't even name, would have had the courage to present this information himself, not to use a friend source to leak it. But Congress, the Senate ought to learn the name of the friend and ought to subpoena the memos from the friend. He would have no privilege.
Well, and that's
he wasn't acting as his lawyer. He was acting as his friend.
That's a legal question I also had. If he wrote that memo as the director of the FBI, is it his to give to a law professor at Columbia? And what's the relevance to that in terms of his behavior?
No, I think there are some questions about that. He shouldn't have used the law professor as a conduit. And I think that's a serious issue, and he shouldn't have coordinated. If he did, he denied it. But there are sources that say he coordinated his testimony with Mueller, who's the special counsel. I think we have to learn about that and see whether there's any truth to that. But the heart of the testimony today was to distinguish between criminal and political, and I think he did a good job in distinguishing what is a crime, and I think he's made it clear that no crimes were committed. And what is something that the people in the United States have a right to judge President Trump negatively if they choose to.
Yeah, well,
That's the way democracy operates.
And as this conversation has come full circle, we go back to, and that narrative has not been the one that the networks have been telling, and you called them out on it, and I appreciate your time, Professor Dershowitz. Thank you so much for being with us. All right, Kevin McCullough, we got lots more coverage of the Comey hearings that will be coming up. I want you to stay with us. The former prosecutor, Katie Fang, joins me. We will discuss other elements of the discussion today before the Senate committee. I'm Kevin McCullough. This is Kevin McCullough Radio.
Opinion. Passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
Cloudy skies and 64 degrees at this hour. What's going on? We have the answer. A disturbing video of a plainclothes NYPD officer pointing a gun at a young man holding a phone is going viral. Curtis Jackson shot the video in Staten Island on Saturday after he and a group of friends were stopped on the street by police.
Two men in suits hopped out the car. They just had their guns out on us, you know? So when the man told me to get on the floor, he didn't identify himself as a police officer. So I told him that I wasn't getting on the floor.
The video shows the officer yelling at the 22-year-old and waving his gun. Jackson posted the video to Facebook, where it's gotten more than 100,000 hits. President Trump will be spending the weekend at his golf course in Bedminster, New Jersey. The commander-in-chief is scheduled to touch down tomorrow in the late afternoon. The FAA sent out a notice saying pilots can expect airspace restrictions through Sunday in the Bedminster area. Mayor de Blasio appears to be getting antsy that the MTA hasn't addressed the subway problems New Yorkers have been dealing with recently. Scott Pringle has more.
Mayor de Blasio calls the numerous signal and electrical problems and subway train breakdowns over the last couple months a crisis.
I believe the MTA's all along been trying to address the issue. I don't want to say that people at the MTA haven't been trying. I believe they have been trying. But we need a plan. So let's see a plan.
And the mayor wants that soon.
If we don't see a plan, we'll put forward a vision through my representatives on the MTA of what needs to change.
Even if that means shifting resources away from other things, he says.
In sports, Yankees take on the Red Sox at the stadium. The Mets have the evening off. Taking a look at the traffic across the Hudson River, 45 minutes city bound, the GW Bridge upstairs, 30 minutes downstairs, Lincoln Tunnel 45 in, 20 out, and the outbound Holland Tunnel is a 30-minute delay. Mostly cloudy skies tonight, low 55, partly sunny tomorrow, high 78, sunshine Saturday and Sunday, high 82 Saturday, 87 on Sunday. And now you know what's going on. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Buying a home requires a lending partner who can help you navigate through the mortgage process. The Citizens Bank Loan Officer can help answer all your questions and help you select the products you need in a clear and personal way. So the next time you have a question about home financing, call 212-857-6668, 212-857-6668, and ask a citizen. Mortgages are offered and originated by Citizens Bank N.A., NMLS number 433960, Equal Housing Lender.
I have actually been on Balance of Nature for a year now. I have MS, and I recently had an MRI. This is the first year that I've had a stable MRI, so I'm thrilled. When I have an MRI with MS, usually there are glowing spots that come through, which is damage on the nerves in my brain and my spinal cord. And when they're glowing, it means they're active. And then my last MRI, they pulled it up, and I honestly couldn't believe that it was my MRI. There was nothing glowing. And in fact, the dark spots were shrinking. They were healing. And the doctor actually said to me, I think we're in remission. I was so happy. I had no idea that that could be my reality.
The new challenge will allow you to receive 2 months of Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies free. And we'll even ship them to you free. Call now for details. Call 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code THEANSWER.
Ever wonder what the real story is behind a headline-making legal case? Or the reasons for a judge's decision? Well, every weekend on our station, Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi features revealing interviews with those who make the laws and those who protect your rights through the rule of law. Tom asks the questions and you get to hear the revealing answers. So join us Sunday mornings at 10 for Champions of Justice here on AM 970, The Answer.
Our hosts all look like GQ models. See them now at AM970TheAnswer.com.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
The president is the head of the executive branch and could direct, in theory, we have important norms against this, but direct that anybody be investigated or anybody not be investigated. I think he has the legal authority.
Wow, that was just one of the many things that Mr. Comey said today that I found not only rather significant, but also highly underreported in most of the media coverage of the debate thus far between Comey and Trump. Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. Our stellar legal analysis of this rather highly legal goings-ons in Washington continues. You just heard from Professor Alan Dershowitz. We now turn to former prosecutor Katie Fang, who's a contributor to MSNBC, a trial lawyer, and a former homicide prosecutor, and someone we've talked a lot about with the Justice Department issues. Katie, it's good to have you back. Thanks for being here.
Oh, always happy to be here.
What did you make of the, I don't know, the two or three, I would say, significant things that Comey kind of established, even though there was a lot of other window dressing around them? Can we come away from this clearly saying there was no obstruction of justice and, you know, the investigations go on and so forth? I mean, is that kind of what the takeaway should be from this?
I can't say that. And
okay.
The reason why, Kevin, is because I think just as there has been several analyses on the idea that it's a measure of context, I think that's exactly the situation. I mean, you have to see whether these individual members of the committee listened to Comey's sworn testimony today and the way that he answered the questions posed to him. And mind you, there's a closed door session that's going on this afternoon.
Right.
So I'd love to know what the questions are going to be.
Of course you would.
Be in that, right?
Popcorn, but, you know, for the front row on that one.
Exactly. Talk about must-see TV. It's something that depends upon context, Kevin. So I say this in for the example. If I tell you that I hope for a certain outcome, does that mean that I just told you to do something? I mean, it's just all depends on how you perceive it. It's perception. It's context. And so if the members of this committee think that Comey was given a directive to get rid of and dismiss, you know, not pursue something, maybe, just maybe, but, you know, it is kind of a very inflammatory statement to say that the president of the United States was obstructing justice by having these one-on-one conversations with former Director Comey.
Well, I want to ask a follow-up on that particular point, because Mary Catherine Hamm at The Federalist was quick to put out a piece today. It's interesting, and because I read through the 7 pages of Comey's pre-statement that he released yesterday, and he didn't repeat any of that today, which I actually found helpful. But he actually initiated the first one-on-one with Donald Trump on January the 6th, where, you know, he personally wanted to discuss with the president some personal aspects of some of the things. And so he asks if he can have a private one-on-one with him. And that's kind of overlooked when everybody else is focusing on the next meetings were one on one and how, you know, unusual that was and extraordinary and, you know, didn't have anybody else in the room and all the rest of it. Comey was actually the first one to call for a meeting, just the two of them.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at the reasoning why he didn't want to embarrass the president, so I kind of feel like it's a little bit of a throwaway, that first one-on-one meeting that happened on January 6th, but for the fact, Kevin, that that was the first meeting that compelled Comey to start taking notes in these memos that he wrote.
Well, and
so something transpired that said to him, I'm going to start taking detailed memoranda of these meetings with President Trump. And so if there was something totally innocuous about that meeting, then why would you then feel compelled to start taking notes and keeping notes?
Let me go back to the hope issue for a second, because I thought that Senator Kamala Harris was pathetic in her analogy to a robber who would say, oh, I hope you'll give me your wallet. I doubt she won that case as a former prosecutor. But I know what Comey's getting at in terms of the use of the word. But Alan Dershowitz wrote an interesting piece. I think it was in The Times this morning where he said it is presidential custom and a legal right to instruct, not to ask, but to instruct the FBI to prosecute or not prosecute, investigate, not investigate, to either the justice or the bureau if they so wish. And the fact that he only brought it up this once, Comey testified he never brought it up again. Nobody else in the administration ever brought it up to him again. It seems to me like if it had really been a desire to kind of strong arm him into doing it, he had the legal right just to tell him to do it. Why not go that path?
Okay, so because you and I both know, Kevin, that nothing is ever that black and white. So, again, context and perspective. Mike Flynn wasn't some rogue dude doing what he was doing necessarily, to the extent that people would say that President Trump himself was connected in some way. And we heard for a fact it was put to bed today. Former Director Comey said President Trump himself was never being investigated by the FBI. But even Trump himself said that his, quote, satellite associates might have something going on, right? So, you know, the fact that Flynn was affiliated with the president kind of leans towards the idea that maybe there is this insinuation, if not directive, provided to Comey to not pursue this. And that is what made Comey so uncomfortable. And he put what we heard during this testimony this morning. There were 28 words that were put into quotes in the 7-page memo. And so it kind of makes you wonder, is that an exact, almost court reporter stenoed, right, exact quote attributable to the president?
Interesting.
And if so, that's a little disturbing, Kevin, if you see, you know, I hope you can let this go. I hope you can see your way clear to letting this go.
Katie Fink, thanks as always for your analysis. We appreciate it. Kevin McCullough Radio, coming right back.
Want to feel like a total boss? Then switch to the best deal in America, Total Wireless. With Total Wireless, you get America's largest, most dependable network plus 5 gigs of high-speed data and unlimited talk and text for only $35 a month. Whoa, how did you get all that? Oh, that's right. You're totally a total boss. And you never sign a contract. Total Wireless. Total confidence. Available at major retailers. Always refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at TotalWireless.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Did you know that you could be vulnerable to the government seizing your investment assets and keeping them and using them for their own purposes? Yes, the Dodd-Frank Act allows what's called a bail-in to occur under certain circumstances. Your portfolio could be completely confiscated from your control, at least for a period of time, under the right financial calamity. But if you're invested in metals and if you have other tangible assets, many of those are protected from such action. That's why I want you to get all of the details on how the government can seize your assets and how you can protect yourself from doing just that. When you call my friends at Landmark Capital today, tell them, say, I want to protect myself from the coming bail-in. Give me all your free resources, and they will. They'll be glad to send them to you. Here's your phone number, 844-604-2575. Don't let the government take your assets. 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575 or landmarkgold.com.
The clock is ticking. Every day you put off buying life insurance can cost you big time. The older you get, the more you'll have to pay. And a sudden accident or unexpected illness could cause your rates to skyrocket or even make you uninsurable. Beat the clock. Call SelectQuote now. No hassle, no obligation. In minutes, you'll have a choice of your best rates from up to 10 highly rated life insurance companies. Richard, 40 years old, takes meds to control his cholesterol. Still, SelectQuote got him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $24 a month. Under a dollar a day. Don't risk your family's security another minute. Get your free quote now. Just call 800-305-8080. That's 800-305-8080. 800-305-8080. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you would like to lose 20 to 40 plus pounds, I'm going to encourage you to do what I did nearly 3 years ago. That is, call Dr. Kerry Skorsky and say, hey, I want to be part of that guaranteed program to lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. They do it through computerized NRF technology that allows them to monitor all kinds of things within your system. The amount of toxins you have, metals in your bloodstream, water weight that you're carrying, all kinds of things that they measure. And it's done 100% naturally. No hunger, no cravings, no drugs, no prepackaged foods. It's doctor supervised. You eat real food the whole time. Your weight impacts everything. And so if you want to feel better in your own skin, losing the weight will change that. They balance your hormones, they normalize your blood sugar levels, and they totally reset your metabolism. So not only do you lose the weight, but then after the program is over, you're able to keep it off. Dr. Kerry Skorsky and the team at Bay Ridge Holistic Health, call them today, 844-THE-DIET, 844-THE-DIET, or go to anewyouin40days.com or 844-THE-DIET.
Tweet us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. We're everywhere. AM970, theanswer.com.
Look around, how lucky we are to be alive right now. Look around, how lucky we are to be alive right now. History is happening in Manhattan, and we just happen to be in the greatest city in the world. In the greatest city in the world.
If it's happening in New York or across the globe, learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, I'm gonna table the Comey crap for just a while, if that's okay, because there's only so much of this you can take, and I that's not to in any way impugn Professor Alan Dershowitz or Katie Fang, who were just with us. I need to breathe. So let's talk about something that's even more important. Oh, what could be more important than Comey? Well, it's relationships. It's Thursday. It's the most important thing you can talk about. And back to talk about them is Ashley Papa. Hello, Lady Ashley.
Hey, Kevin. Good to be here. Give your listeners a break from the news headlines.
That's right. Well, and part of your day job is you have to, like, you know, program the channel for part of the day. And it's just, it's all just like, and here's my issue. Like, if it wasn't such a bunch of nothing, but we got like, okay, 2.5 hours, and then now all the pundits, and for the next week, it's going to be like, and there's nothing legally that's going to come about that's going to be any different. And it's like, can we just move on? Can we just get on with other stuff? It's been frustrating. I hear you. Well, tonight, let's talk about a couple of things. One, you've got a Fox on Love radio broadcast that's coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that in a second. But you've written this thing a couple of weeks back, six things you should know about dating while in your 30s. Now, I will say this. When I was a young man, I got married way too early. And then I was alone for a while after about 6 years, and I was alone for about 7 years. And when I re-entered the dating world, I was in my 30s. Mm-hmm. And that was a very interesting thing because a lot of things changed on me and nobody told me. Like they didn't tell me how things had changed. So I think that this will actually be good information. But what are some of the things that we need to know? You say happy hours are something to take full advantage of. Why?
Yeah, because, you know, we're all in our 30s working, so, and a lot of us have to get up early, so staying out late to meet people isn't, you know, it's not that as convenient as it was in our 20s, so happy hours right after work is a good time to, you know, meet people because, you know, everyone kind of has the same idea, and that way you can get home and get to bed early.
Yeah, and you know what's amazing, at least in the New York area about this, is that there's always, there's lots of availability. I mean, there's even like round tables and stuff that are like constructed so that you can go meet people that have the similar interest to you. And New York is a city where kind of like they birthed that idea.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, taking advantage of, you know, your the stuff you like to do for fun as well.
Yeah.
So also the place
all right.
to meet people.
Looks stop being the number one priority in your 30s. Now, why would you say that, Ashley? Because men in their 30s are thinking, if women are thinking that, man, that's going to be terrible.
Well, you know, when you're in your 30s, you're starting to think of, you know, your life together. So you need to find somebody you can kind of you match with on with values and, you know, these days where you stand politically, finances, et cetera.
Right.
So looks, you know, will get you that maybe bring that general attraction. But after you get to know somebody, that really determines whether this person is somebody you can be with in the long term or not.
That's so true. It's so true on so many levels. And it was one of the things that really, you want to find the whole person because you have to be matched to the whole person eventually if
right.
you're going to do the marriage thing. Okay, dating apps can become your favorite wingman or woman. How so?
Yeah, well, again, going back to when you're in your 30s, you're a lot more busy, so it could be harder to go out and meet people. So, you know, dating apps and websites can, you know, be of benefit. So don't shun them. If you're not into them, you know, give them a chance because, yeah, you can really do it while laying on your couch, you know, by yourself and just relaxing for, you know, for the night.
Narrow it down. Just narrow it down just a touch. Yeah. Okay. Number four, and I like this one. One of the best things about being in 30, you're not in your 20s anymore. But now I kind of get there's a personal relation why I feel that way. But why did you include that?
Well, because you can't act like you are in your 20s anymore, you know. You don't want to be that, like, that older person at the bar or the club where
hey,
it's so
baby.
Obvious. They're like, hey, look at that old guy there. You
right.
know, like, we all know who that person
Who's
is.
Who's the dude that needs the hairpiece? And why is he smiling at me?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you kind of got to act your age now. And even though it's, like, you're 20s, 30s, like, it's only a decade apart still. There's a huge, you know, there are some, like, major, you know, changes that should come with, like, you know, when you jump into your 30s now.
Well, everybody talks about how when you're in your 20s, you know, you have all your fun. But when you're in your 30s, you start paying your bills. And and when you're in your 40s, you know, you're I don't know what they say. There was something that I remembered someone saying once. But, yeah, different stages of life give you different amounts of ability. Number
right.
five, you'll want to know right away if it's going anywhere. I think this may be of the six the most important one.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I think in your 20s, you're kind of more like maybe carefree and like whether something's going somewhere or not. But I think once you're in your 30s, then you kind of realize like, oh, man, you know, soon I'll be 40 and I haven't met anybody. You probably like go on a date or two and realize right away that this is not going
right.
to go anywhere. This person isn't for me. So you're probably more.
Well, and then if you
that.
Have any sense of tradition about you at all, there's that. I like because, you know. You can only have kids up to a certain point. I mean,
it's a real thing, yeah.
I mean, Madonna tried to disprove that, but, you know, not everybody can be like her. Number six, you can still be confused about what you want.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, back in the day, maybe it was easier to buy a house and be where you are in your career, et cetera. But I think, like, when you're in your 30s and today, you know, people are switching jobs, they're switching careers, maybe they're going back to school, they may not be comfortable where they are, you know, in their 30s yet. So they might even not know what they want romantically either.
Well, I think that those are phenomenal things. And you can read them. It's part of Ashley's column from May the 6th, actually. So it's a little bit older, but it's you can find it at ashleypapa.com. May 8th, I guess, was the date that it was published at Fox News.
Yeah.
So check that out. Now, this weekend, Fox on Love, you're going to be on radio stations all across the country talking about?
Talking about whether to merge bank accounts or keep separate bank accounts once you get married.
Ah, then there, I sense that
debate.
That could be some helpful information in that. So check that out. That's Fox on Love on radio stations just like this one, coast to coast across America. Ashley Papa, thanks for giving us a Comey break.
Thanks, Kevin.
Talk to you soon. It's Kevin McCullough. Final thoughts coming up next on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
It is quite a chore to get around the Belt Parkway in Brooklyn. We're jammed up on the eastbound side, Verrazano Bridge, right out towards Bay Parkway, with a crash being cleared, another crash by Ocean Parkway, and a third one right in the area of Flatbush Avenue, and stays heavy right out towards Cross Bay Boulevard, with, believe it or not, another accident. That's four accidents on the eastbound side of the Belt Parkway. Westbound, compared to the eastbound side, it's a bargain. Although once you hit Flatbush Avenue, it's going to be bumper to bumper from that spot right to the Verrazano Bridge, which is jammed up going back to Staten Island, and the westbound Staten Island Expressway is jammed up all the way across to the West Shore Expressway. Across the Hudson River, Holland Tunnel, 20 minutes inbound, 30 minutes outbound. Lincoln Tunnel, 45 minutes in, 20 minutes out. GW Bridge, city-bound upper level, 45 minutes. Downstairs, 30 minutes. Both levels are jammed across the span onto the eastbound Cross Bronx, which stays heavy out towards the Deegan, with an accident still blocking two of those travel lanes. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Tired of dealing with dummies? Experience the smart way to buy a car at Route 22 Toyota. No hidden fees, no back and forth, no pressure, and no wasting time with dummies. Alex Kinsella, the general manager, prides himself on his low, low lease offers and 0% APR financing for up to 72 months for qualified buyers. And now my buddy Alex wants you to experience their new smart way to service. He's taking the same smart approach that's been so successful in selling cars into the service bay. So he said, Joe, I'm going to let you give the first five callers in the next 5 minutes a free multi-point inspection and oil change and filter if they call 855-621-9949 and say, Joe sent me. 855-621-9949 in the next 5 minutes. Get a free oil change and filter on me. 855-621-9949 and say, this one's on Joe. Route 22 Toyota, Route 22 West in Hillside, New Jersey, or at Route22Toyota.com. Tell them Joe sent you for the free oil change. All European makes excluded.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-41-BIBLE.
Hi, I'm Michael Riedel, and if you like my theater column in the New York Post, you're going to love my new show, On the Town with Michael Riedel. Listen every Saturday morning at 9 as I explore New York City, talk about the movies, television, wine, the best places to eat, and, of course, Broadway and all of its great shows like Wicked, The Phantom of the Opera, and The Lion King. And because we're in New York City, you never know what special guest might swing by the studio and say hello. So join me, On the Town, Saturday mornings at 9, only on AM 970, The Answer.
Put leftovers in shallow containers and get them into the refrigerator as soon as possible. Roughly 3,000 Americans will die from food poisoning this year, but you can keep your family safer by chilling food promptly and properly. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Jay Sekulow Live is next on AM 970, The Answer. What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad you're with us. Look, there's been so much that has come out today, and I could take an hour just to talk about every point that Comey made that supports President Trump's position. But let me just touch on a couple of things in closing tonight. Comey was the first one to call a private meeting with the president. The president didn't summon him to a private meeting first. Comey requested a private one-on-one. So all the people are like, oh, how unusual it is that the president was meeting one-on-one with the well, that was Comey that asked for that. And how was President Trump to know beyond that first meeting that it would have been extraordinary or out of the common way of doing things for him to request additional one-on-one meetings? So that's point number one. Point number two, in so many places today, in President Trump's testimony, former Director Comey's testimony about Trump, he made statement after statement that proved that not only was Trump not trying to influence the Russia investigation, but has to this point done very little to even try to stop it, even though he has the power to, as we learned from Alan Dershowitz. Comey said, my firing has not impeded the Russia investigation. It's going forward. Comey also said, one of the reasons I'm pleased to be here is because I wanted to tell what actually happened. So everything that he talks about, we can actually judge that this is supposed to be on the record. Comey said President Trump has the legal authority to order investigations to stop on anyone that he wishes. He has that authority. That was Comey's words today. Comey confirmed after Trump hoped Comey would let the Flynn investigation go, President Trump never asked about it again. And they met at least 8 more times before he was fired. He said in multiple places that Donald Trump was never under investigation, which is something that CNN and ABC directly lied about over the last 48 hours and had to correct their record today. Shame on them. Shame on the media that don't have the facts, that are telling things that aren't true. And this is the bottom line. The president didn't ask him to drop the investigation. The investigations go forward. But there is zero amount of evidence that any collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians has occurred. Not only that, his self-admission that he was the leaker of his own memo content, it's just a bunch of hogwash. When are we going to get on with the business of the people? By the way, get on with the business of the people every day, starting at 3 o'clock on our sister station, AM 570, The Mission, tomorrow afternoon, and back here at 5.